If you are visiting with us this morning, God bless you. We're grateful that you've chosen to worship at Wiley Methodist Church this morning. I know we have some family in for baby dedications. God bless you guys for being here. May not be your normal opportunity to visit, but we're still glad you guys are here. If you're visiting this morning and you would like to leave us a record of your visit, you'll find a blue card in the chair pocket in front of you. Just fill that out. You can add your email list on there. We've got a really good email distribution list. If you want to be added to that, just fill in your email address in the appropriate box or the blank, and just leave that in your chair when we leave the worship service, or set it on the altar table, and we'll follow up with you if you choose to let us know you're here. If you want to fly under the radar, God bless you. We love you anyway. So just glad you're here. Everybody having a good summer? Good summer. I don't have a Facebook account, but I'm going to confess this morning I creep on my wife's on occasion just to see what's going on with people. And so I've noticed some of you have had the opportunity to take significant trips this year and shorter trips. And, you know, I was thinking about vacations and why we do that. Carlene and I, we go camping. That's our deal. That's what we do. Just to kind of get away, and we started that years ago. I started going to her family reunion, which that's taking place this coming weekend. And Carlene's got an awesome family. As long as one particular clan doesn't show up, everything is well. And people are probably saying that about the Krim clan. Boy, if that Krim clan wouldn't show up, everything would be great. But we started. This is year 82 or 83 for our family. So it's a huge tradition, and Carlene and I have taken over leadership of that since her father passed away in early, I think, 2001. And I just started camping when I started going to her reunions, which was 40-something years ago, 41 years ago, I believe. And so that's what we did as a family, just to kind of get away and get refreshed. And we've taken ski trips, and we went to SeaWorld the first year it opened, and there were no shade trees there. It was probably the worst mistake of our lives. It was pretty brutal, pretty hot. But our main thing is going camping, and we started small. We started renting shelters, and then we upgraded to a tent, and then we upgraded to a little pop-up camper, and I spent $200 on this roached-out little camper that I thought I could sink $500 in and have a $700 camper, and $1,500 later, I've got this $700 camper. So we sold that, upgraded to a newer one, and then we upgraded to a hybrid, which is solid sides, but the ends still fold out. There's canvas-covered beds on the ends. And just this year, we've upgraded to a little RV, which there's solid sides all the way around. And it's not very big. It's only 20 feet. And we bought a 20-footer for two reasons. We have limited storage space in our backyard. And for us, trying to get that camper out of our yard and down the alley is a challenge. So we're limited on the length of the trailer, and another reason we bought a 20-footer is we don't want anybody going camping with us. if our kids want to go, I'm going to say, sorry, we just don't have the room. And Carlene and I, we love people, we love you guys, but sometimes we just need to get away from you and just get away from people and focus on our relationship. Does that make any sense to anybody? Man, we absolutely love you guys, but we just need to get away and spend time together. So that works well for us. May not work well for everybody. Man, we've got some great memories, and I won't share a whole lot of them camping, other than the time we fed a piece of chicken that had a bone in it. And so for the next 3 days, we heard this goose all over the state park in Blanco trying to get this chicken bone out of his throat. And it was terrible. I felt so bad about that. But anyway. But, I was thinking about vacations. Why do we do that? We do that. We go and just to get away and get some rest. And I don't know about you guys, but I've been on some vacations that I couldn't wait to get back home. Anybody been there? It's like it's the vacation from wherever. And it just didn't work out. I need to take a vacation from my vacation. And so I know that we're trying to get away. We need to get away. It's essential for us to do that, spend time with each other, spend time with family. And sometimes I don't know what we're really looking for when we get away like that. I know we're looking to just get away from all the rut that we're in. We're looking to get away from, just the job, and we feel like we need to rest, but we pack so much stuff into this vacation that we never really rest. But we know we need to get away. And I'm wondering what if we're longing for something other than maybe perhaps just getting away, getting some physical rest. I wonder if deep down inside of us, we're really longing for rest for our souls. You know, we're just tired. We're just spent. And I'm going to take a vacation. Hopefully that'll help. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I think what we're really looking for, what we're really longing for, and I'll make a case for that here in a minute, is we're really looking for rest for our souls. Augustine wrote in the 4th century, he says, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they can find rest in you." And Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that eternity is set in the hearts of men and women. And so there's something deep inside of us, built in us, that where we're really longing for eternity. We're longing for the Lord. I don't believe in atheists. I really don't. I believe people can really deny God's existence, but I got to believe, according to this verse, that there's something deep inside of them, that eternity is set in their hearts, so there's a desire to know God and who He is, even though they maybe cannot verbalize that. So anyway, I think what we really need more times than not is rest for our souls. And I'm going to share a few scriptures about that. And hopefully we can come to a little better understanding. Maybe perhaps that's what God's heart is for us. So let me pray for us. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for opportunities to be in your word. Lord, I pray that your word just ring true. It speak loudly. It does its work. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, as I share it this morning, I pray that it changes all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. There's always a good sermon always has 3 points. Jeff's good sermons have 5 or 6, but mine only have 3. First point is that God's desire is rest for our souls. God's desire is rest for our souls, which is the sermon title, by the way, Rest for Our Souls. You know, God, when God created Adam and Eve, it was just an environment where they had rest. They had peace. I don't think there was a lot of anxiety in Adam and Eve until sin entered the picture, until they rebelled. I believe it was God's heart in creation that they have spiritual rest. Let's look at some scripture. Psalms 116, 5 through 7. I think we finally got it in the computer. Says, "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." I found that interesting. In verse 7, it says, "Return to your rest, my soul." It's almost like that's the norm for this particular person. Things are out of sorts, but he's longing for his soul to experience rest. Jeremiah 6 says, 16. I'm going to give a little history here, Lee, before we put that up, if you don't mind. Jeremiah has prophesied that the nation of Judah would be attacked by the Babylonian army, and the city of Jerusalem, which was the capital, would be overthrown. And that was coming sometime later because of the people's rebellion. So it's not a pretty word from the Lord. It's a word of calamity. And then here's what God says in Jeremiah 6:16. It says, "This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it." It's almost like, even in the midst of this calamity that's coming, this destruction that's coming on the city, that God is making a way for the people to have rest for their souls. It's His desire, I believe, for our souls to be rested. He said, "Ask for the ancient paths, the ways back to me. Ask where the good way is." God says, "Ask me and I'll show you. And then when I show you, walk in it. And then you will have rest for your souls." Another example, when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt, God led them out with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. And you think about it, that number was probably around 5 million, theologians believe. And they just walked out of the country. I mean, they didn't have an army come in and liberate them. They just walked out, unprecedented. unprecedented. And God told Moses at his burning bush experience, when you bring the people out, you will come back and worship me on this mountain, which was the same location that he had this experience at the burning bush, and that was Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. And you guys know the story about their rebellion. God was present. Moses was up visiting with God, and it was an incredible scene. You know, there was thick darkness and clouds and lightning and thunder and fire mixed in with the clouds, and the people were terrified of who God was. And Moses goes up on the mountain to receive instruction from God. He had received the Ten Commandments and other parts of the law, and he was gone for a long time. He was gone for 40 days, and I guess maybe day 34, 35, 36 rolled around, and they're thinking, God killed Moses. We don't see him. And so they got nervous, and they asked Aaron to fashion for them a God that they could actually see, a God they can touch. And he made the golden calf, and you know, God was not pleased with that. You know, plague broke out, many people died, and it comes time for them to leave this mountain. They were there for almost a year, and so Exodus 33, Lee, verses 1-3. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I will send an angel before you and drive out the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites." I practiced that list, by the way. "Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way." So God said, it's time to go, but I'm not going with you. I'm absolutely not going with you. But I promised the land to Abraham. I promised it to his son Isaac. I promised it to Isaac's son Jacob. And I'm going to make good on my promise. And I'm going to send my angel ahead of you to drive out the inhabitants of the land. And you know, it was a twofold purpose. God had promised the land to the people, and God was going to judge the people of that land because of their rebellion. Leviticus tells us about the reason for judgment coming on that land. God says, go, I'm going to send an angel, I'm going to give it to you, but I'm not going to go with you, or I might destroy you on the way. So Exodus 33, skip down to verses 12 through 14. And Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." And the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." You know, there's some debate about what this rest is in the book of Hebrews. It mentions rest being this nation inhabiting that particular land, the land of Canaan. But I think maybe God is saying something different in this set of verses. You know, Moses didn't have an easy life. And this you, I don't know if it's directed particularly at Moses, "I will be with you, my presence will be with you," even though God's presence was with the entire nation. And he says, "I will give you rest." I don't know if that's just for Moses or just for the entire nation as well, because a lot of them died in the wilderness. But if it's just for Moses, you know, Moses didn't have a very easy life. You know, he pastored 5 million people, and they griped all the time. For 40 years, they griped. "I don't like this food. I don't like this manna. Me. I don't like the water. We don't have any water. I want some meat to eat." I mean, it was just constant griping about that. And for 40 years, they meandered in the desert, and they weren't lost. I mean, God was guiding them the whole way. And they were just meandering in the desert, and it had to be dusty and dry and just hot. And Moses, he would spend time with the Lord, but he would also spend time as a judge, judging cases that people would have. There would be conflicts in the camp, and they would say, "What should we do?" Well, they would take the difficult cases to Moses, and Moses would seek the Lord and said, "This is the outcome, judgment for this person or whatever." And sometimes I'm sure he did that from sunup to sundown. It wasn't an easy journey for him. It was difficult. He didn't even get to go into the land because he rebelled against God. One time he broke faith from the Lord, and God said, I can't let you go in. But yet God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest, which is kind of interesting to me. It tells me that you know, if in the middle of what we do, you know, we're just, as a culture, we're running crazy, aren't we? I mean, parents, we're raising kids and getting kids in school, and then they've got functions, so we're chasing the kids around, and you know, we're working, and then, you know, then the kids grow up and they become teenagers and they want to drive, and so we buy them cars, and then they grow up more, and then we send them to college, we pay for that, we figure out how we're going to pay for it. And then they grow up and they have kids and then grandkids live. I'm blessed to have a granddaughter that lives in Abilene. Jeff's blessed to have a grandson that lives in Abilene. But a lot of my friends don't. And so they're traveling. They're going all the time trying to keep up with their grandkids. So it's just crazy. Life is crazy. But in the midst of that, I believe that God's presence can go with us, wants to go with us, and I believe that rest is available for us as well, even in the midst of all the chaos. So God's desire is rest for our souls. The second point, Jesus' desire is rest for our souls. Jesus extends an invitation in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. He says, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I've always read that and stopped there thinking, man, I just need to sleep for 10 hours. I'm just, you know, physically exhausted. I believe it's deeper than that. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will give you, or you will find rest for your souls. I want to break this verse down. Jesus says to come. And it's almost in the original language, it's a come with an exclamation point. Come now. You know, he's not begging us, but it's like, man, just come. Just come. If you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you're fatigued physically, spiritually, absolutely. If you're burdened, it means to load someone down with burdens. And the picture is like you're loading a mule or a donkey to, you know, to if you're going backpacking or something, or, you know, loading that animal down. Well, that animal was created to carry those burdens. Our problem is we're not created to be loaded down with burdens. You know, that's Jesus's job. So if we're weary or if we're burdened, Jesus said, if we come to him, he will give us rest. And that rest means to cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect strength, physical strength and absolutely spiritual strength. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And this word yoke is an interesting word. It could mean two things. It could mean you have a pair of oxen or cattle that are yoked together. And I've heard it said before that Jesus is, you know, he's in one slot, we're in the other slot, and we just let him kind of lead us and guide us. That word yoke also could mean the beam on a scale. Like you've got this center point, and this beam is called a yoke, and then you've got, you know, the two scales on each side. And when things are balanced, things are well. It's almost like Jesus said, I am balanced. I am balanced. Take my balance and learn from me. We need to increase in the knowledge of who Jesus is. He says he's gentle and he's humble in heart. And you know, I think when our souls aren't rested, my soul, when it's not rested, I'm not very gentle. I'm really not. I'm kind of cranky, sort of irritable. And you know, if somebody says something that hurts my feelings, I'm not walking in humility. I want to defend myself. I'm, you know, God bless me, I'm kind of prideful sometimes. And so I struggle with being gentle. I struggle with being humble when I need spiritual rest. But Jesus says, learn from me. Learn from me. And you will find rest for your souls. So it's God's desire that we have rest. It's Jesus' desire that we have rest. And just automatically, our desire should be rest for our souls, which is the third point. Our desire should be rest for our souls. You know, I know of one couple that went to Paris this summer. This gentleman took his wife for their anniversary. He said, well, we're going to Paris. I thought, Paris, Texas, that's nice. She'll really enjoy that. And he said, no, Paris, France. I said, oh, that's cool. Now, what, you know, put a lot of pressure on those other guys that, you know, that don't do anything like that. And I won't mention his name, but Stacy Acevedo had a really good time, I think, in Paris. But, you know, sometimes we take long distance journeys to find rest. We'll go, go to the Caribbean or something like that. And we're just looking to be refreshed, looking to be rested. But, you know, this journey to find rest for our souls is really a real short journey. I mean, it's probably a millionth of a centimeter in distance, because God is near. God is close to us. He really is. In Him we live and move and have our being. You know, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, so we're just rubbing right up against Him. You know, the spirit and the flesh is just right there. He is so close. And the journey to find rest for our souls, it's not very far, but it's the most difficult journey, I believe, that we'll ever make, because we have to pay a price to get there. You know, we have to die to ourselves. We have to acknowledge, God, I don't have all this figured out. I'm working, I'm striving, I'm trying to do the best I can to make things happen. And what we really need to do is surrender to Him and allow Him to give us rest for our souls. But it cost us something. It cost us time that we want to commit to something else. It's a short journey, but it's a difficult journey. And sometimes this journey may look like what's written in Psalm 42. It says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. In Psalm 42:11, I'm going to skip down to verse 11, Lee. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why dost so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. I don't know when the last time we've strived, intentionally strived, to find rest for our souls. But the psalmist paints a picture of somebody being incredibly thirsty, a deer, in this particular instance. And he makes statements like, when can I go and meet with God? Or people are saying, where is your God? And I think sometimes when our soul needs rest and we're just out of sorts, that we just can't seem to connect with Him. God, where are you? What have I done to make you mad? And it's almost like this is abnormal for Him, for the psalmist, because he remembers, he says, I remember... Let me get there. It's right here in front of me. It says, I remember how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. And it's almost like I remember that. That's normal for me. What's abnormal for me is my soul being downcast. God, why am I so downcast? So why am I so downcast? And I don't know if you guys have been there. The picture of one being downcast, it's almost, well, in the sheep world, and we're all sheep, right? In the sheep world, when a sheep is cast, that means he gets on his back. And kind of like a turtle, he's kind of stuck there until somebody rolls him over, and that's kind of the picture. We're just stuck. So why are you so downcast, oh my soul? This is abnormal. What's normal is for our souls to be rested. You know, it's easy for me, I think, I'm just going to be honest, and I think there's probably some people in here as well that may struggle with this. It's easy for my soul just to be out of sorts. I've shared this before, that, you know, joy for me is a struggle. And I've got to fight for it every day. I've for 35 years, I've been fighting for joy. And it's worth the fight for me. It really is. Joy is precious to me. My goodness, you people that are joyful all the time, Carlene's, you know, don't take it for granted. Man, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's incredible. It's incredible. But for people that struggle maintaining joy, it's easy to become downcast. It really is. The psalmist gives us some hints as to what we make and do if our soul is out of sorts, if our soul needs to be refreshed, if we need rest for our souls. First thing he did is he acknowledged that. He said, God, my soul is downcast. You know, what happened? God, where are you? And he begins to look for him. He begins to pant for him. He remembers, he recalls encounters that he has had with the Lord in the past, which makes him think, this isn't normal. My soul being downcast is not your heart for me, O God. You want me to be refreshed. So he remembers, he recalls encounters that he has had with the Lord before. And he begins to praise the Lord. In the midst of him not even feeling like it, he begins to give God praise. And Jeff's preached on that before, that praise is a powerful weapon. I believe it drives away the enemy. He began to praise. And then he began to fully trust in him. In verse 11 it says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. I trust you, God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So fully trust God as we dig ourselves out of this spiritual pit. So I believe it's God's desire for our souls to be at rest. Anybody agree? Anybody? Terry, would you come up to the keyboard, please? So I'm just going to be bold this morning and ask if there's anybody in here this morning that needs rest for their souls. Anybody? And I know some of us, a lot of us, maybe perhaps we're in a good spot, which is awesome, which is great. Does anybody this morning need rest for their souls? Is there anybody that's downcast, maybe, perhaps? Yes, go ahead and stand. I just want to pray. If that's you, just go ahead and stand. I just feel led to pray this morning. People are standing. This isn't normal, church. This isn't God's heart for us to be downcast. I'm going to pray, and for those of you who are seated, man, intercede for these people. Intercede for them. God is faithful, and he will restore. We just need to reach out to him. So, God, we love you. Father, we trust you. We praise you. Lord, you have an incredible heart for us. Just to be at rest in the midst of absolute chaos, it's available for us. So, Father, I pray you bless these friends of mine, these sons and daughters of yours, Father, that are just struggling to connect with you on that level where there's rest for their souls. Oh, God, it's available. Jesus, thank you for the invitation that if we come unto you, if we're burdened and weary, that you will give us rest. And not just any kind of rest, but rest for our souls. So, Father, you are faithful. and we trust you. Lord, and you may not take the people that are standing out of their situation, God, but you can absolutely give them the grace, the mercy, the strength, the spiritual fortitude, God, just to press through and bring glory and honor to you. So give them rest, God. Just give them that deep soul rest, Father, as they reach out to you. We draw near to you, Father. You draw near to us. So God, I pray blessings on them. We love you. We trust you. Acknowledge you're good and holy and righteous. In Jesus' name, amen. If the praise team will go ahead and come up. And let's stay in church as we worship. We're going to sing Jesus, Messiah. You know, and Jesus didn't come just to set us free from our sins. If that was all he did, then it would be awesome. But he's come to give us life and life abundantly. He's come to give us rest, spiritual rest. And so let's worship him as we close.
Who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself, carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so Jesus Messiah, above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sin. Ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the Redeemer, Emmanuel.
Hello. Yes? Well, church, God bless you. If you have vacation plans, which we're going out of town this weekend, you know, I'm going to take Jesus with me this time.
Amen.
When I rest physically, I'm going to say, look, just do a work in me. And so maybe that should be our approach. God bless you. Have an incredible day.